Welcome, True Believer readers, to another episode of Let's Read Spider-Man, the best podcast to break down hard-hitting dialogue such as, "And since history has showed that Manhattan is Spider-Man's territory, by ending a life here, I will surely end Spider-Man." Here to provide analysis to that line and so much more is my friend Eddie. How are you today, Eddie?
I feel really great today, James B. I'm not sure, but I think it's because I like slept so well last night and the previous night. I wish I could reproduce this feeling, and I hope you and all our listeners are feeling great too. Are you feeling great, James B?
Sure. I didn't really think I had to answer any questions because the intro of our show is always, "How are you doing today, Eddie?"
And it's true.
I don't really talk about myself because I'm sort of like, you know, I'm running the show and you're sort of like the show, so you're the star.
You always say this, James B, but I don't know. We can let the listeners answer. This quote, though, Doc Ock, he jumps a few hoops here to, like, exterminating life in Manhattan to kill Spider-Man, I think.
Doesn't bother me as much as it should. I'm like, yeah, that's... You know, you got mice.
Way you could do it.
You got mice in your house. You can't get rid of them. Blow your house up. Kind of thing. I understand. It makes sense.
This is probably a series of our sponsors have solutions to problems like this, James B. Perhaps you've been doing too many sponsors.
Eddie, before we get started, how do you think you say the artist's name on these books?
Saviak? Alex Saviak, I think.
All right. We'll give it a try. It's from January of 1988.
Woot woot. New year.
Stan Lee presents The Amazing Spider-Man 296, Force of Arms by David Michelinie, pencils by Alex Saviak, and inked by Vince Coletta.
Spidey's walking in the rain because he's run out of web fluid. Upon returning home, he puts a kettle on the stove for a cup of oolong tea, and after a warm sip, falls asleep. Tea is a real theme in Spider-Man. Peter, Aunt May, and Doc Ock have mentioned or been drawn prominently drinking tea at one point or another. It's interesting because I would consider tea to be stodgy for the 1980s and even today. I think I'm the only, like, I don't know, I guess a middle-aged dude who, like, regularly drinks tea. Maybe there's more out there I don't know about. But we know Peter is a teetotaler, and as much as this suggests it has something to do with tea, it's got nothing to do with tea. And drinking tea would fit with Peter's theme of not indulging in common stimulants such as coffee, alcohol, or nicotine.
It's always good when there's a cup of tea in a Spider-Man book we're reading. We can add an extra minute to the show just for that.
It's true, James B. Very important.
Yeah. Let's put a pin in the whole tea thing and just continue with the story.
Over at the South Brooklyn Psychiatric Facility, a psychiatrist, Dr. Jefferson, is attempting to cure Doc Ock of his evilness. And as he's comforted by Dr. Jefferson, he explains he feels like two people, one who wants to be good and the other who wants to squash Spidey.
He's trying to squash me.
The next day, Jefferson attempts the sleep therapy he's been doing on Doc Ock. James B., I think Doc Ock's dream, which has a bunch of New Yorkers as spider people, is fantastic.
You know, the only thing I like less than an unnecessarily long fight sequence is any dream sequence. Glad you like it, but I really don't. While this is going on, Peter tells the reader he needs money to research a new plastic version of spiderweb fluid and decides to go out and look for spectacular trouble he can photograph. And Eddie, I want to be clear, he's looking for money for his web fluid, okay?
I thought his web shooters are going to be new, right? Not the fluid.
Sorry, the web shooters, because he's got some ideas of he wants to get plastic involved as opposed to having it be metal. And so you referenced a couple times he's looking for, like, rent money in the show.
Correct.
And I keep changing it. Uh-oh. No, it's money he needs for his fluid. That's okay. You got a lot of work to do. It's just...
All right. Well, back in the dream, Doc Ock's metal arms, which are apart from him, break their bonds and come looking for him. Nothing stops the arms, including Spider-Man, and when they reunite with their master, Ock fully embraces his spider-squashing side again. This time, Spidey has a new strategy for stopping Ock. With the help of Dr. Jefferson and Kate Cushing at the Bugle, The Bugle runs a headline claiming Dr. Jefferson will publish a tell-all memoir of his psychiatric work with Doc Ock. The headline lures Ock out of hiding, and when he attempts to attack Jefferson at the hospital, Spidey swings in to save him. Ock is terrified and goes into a catatonic state, but his seemingly sentient arms continue to protect him. Are his arms sentient? They're like, are they controlled by a subconscious? Either way, Spidey is unable to stop the arms, and when they break up the hospital ceiling, Ock escapes. In his lair, Ock declares the only way to destroy Spider-Man is by destroying New York City.
Yeah, Peter manages to get some good photos of the battle to sell to the Bugle so that he doesn't have to ask MJ for a loan to pay for his web shooters. Now, that's the kind of story I would like to see. MJ has to work all over the world to fund Spider-Man's new costume in a spiffy new spider bike. Just some ideas.
Good ones, James B. I never thought I'd see pupils drawn in Spider-Man's mask other than in Amazing Fantasy 15, but there they are in Doc Ock's dreams. Later, we see Doc Ock's eyes through his glasses just as he goes into a catatonic state. It's a curious choice by penciler Alex Sevyuk, and one I'm not a fan of.
Well, unfortunately for you, the whole writing and art crew, including Sevyuk, returned to the conclusion of this tale. Maybe they'll do a better job for you. And it's from February of 1988. Stanley presents The Amazing Spider-Man 297, I'll Take Manhattan, by Micheline Sevyuk and inked by Vince Coletta.
Peter's designed some space-age web shooters equipped with LED lights to let him know when he's running low on fluid. Unfortunately, they don't warn him when Aunt May and Anna Watson pop in for a surprise visit. So now we will never have to worry about Spider-Man running out of web fluid unexpectedly again. Hooray! Great writing, Micheline.
Eddie, I learned what LED stands for from reading Spider-Man. Did you already know what it stood for?
A light emitting diode, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that, but it was in the little bottom box there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it told me that. Were you making fun of... I couldn't tell, but you're when you say great writing, Micheline, were you like happy for this?
I am legit very happy.
Oh, I couldn't tell.
It is great writing. I'd never want him to run out of web fluid again. I think that's a stupid and lame thing to happen to Spider-Man when
okay.
it happens.
Good. So good. All right.
Yeah. Across the Hudson at a New Jersey airfield, Doc Ock, in some abrupt dark writing, kills a pilot working for Al's Air Rentals and forces Al to employ one of Doc Ock's goons. At the Bugle, Joy Mercado tells Peter to forget his money problems because his highfalutin wife pulls in more bacon than Oscar Mayer. As if this wasn't enough to bruise Peter's ego, Joe Robbie gives Peter, quote, fatherly advice in the order of saying he should get a different job that makes a better living.
Yeah. Peter then takes up a job as a mover and makes so much money proving Eddie was right all along.
At last!
I'm just kidding. The book means more fighting, so instead he swings about Manhattan, thinking gloomily about his career choices. He happens upon an Upper East Side penthouse robbery. He stops the robbery, but callously damages a priceless painting and a sculpture in the process. And... somewhat justified, you know, is threatened with a lawsuit as he departs.
He's stopping the criminal. We don't need more reasons for him not to do things. But I was glad. I feel like Peter's been a little bit lucky lately in ways, I don't know, that he normally isn't. So this is some good, like, good old Parker luck going happening right now. Well, at the same time, Doc Ock breaks into a, quote, highly secure... This is a good oxymoron narrator. military lab on Long Island and steals a vial of an extremely deadly bacillus. Ock's scheme is crazy. He wants to kill everyone in Manhattan to kill Spider-Man. Well, Spidey catches up with Doc Ock and he goes catatonic again, which gives Spidey time to learn that only Doc Ock can stop the helicopter from spraying its deadly poison.
Spider-Man allows Doc Ock to defeat him, and boosted by his seeming victory over Spidey, Doc Ock says, I don't need the helicopter to kill everyone anymore. I want everyone to know Spider-Man was defeated, and he just leaves Spider-Man alone to be humiliated.
What a weird throwback two-part book. Doc Ock, bombs, helicopters, and something that seems much more intended for children.
Okay, hold on. You were complaining a lot recently about everything being too dark because you're like, oh, Kraven the Hunter is so dark. And you're like, oh, this Mad Dog, if it's so dark. And then you're like, you even put in the notes like, Doc Ock killed this guy at Al's place. I'm like, Eddie, pick a lane here, buddy. You want it to be
easy. Is there no middle ground? We can't have a middle ground of darkness? I don't know. I try to keep my life in the middle ground of darkness, so.
So, the late 80s are too edgy.
Sure.
And the early books are better. The early books are too nice. They're too simple, the simple ones.
Probably.
Good news. We skipped a couple books because they weren't really Amazing Spider-Man, Peter Parker, The Spectacular Spider-Man, or Web of Spider-Man books. We got some books that are just floating around out there, and for whatever reason, I decided we need to plug them in, and here's one of them. From March of 1982, Stanley presents Marvel Fanfare 1 and 2, Fast Descent into Hell, and To Sacrifice My Soul by Chris Claremont and Michael Golden.
J. Jonah sends Peter to accompany and photograph an expedition back to the Savage Land led by Warren Worthington, aka Angel, and Angel's friend Tanya Anderson to find Dr. Carl Lykos. Lykos, who's also known as Sauron, the evil absorbing mutant pterodactyl man, was thought dead until a photo of him with Kazar in the Savage Land surfaced. The expedition begins poorly when the helicopter Angel, Tanya, and Peter fly in on crashes, and they are immediately attacked by Neolithic men and a couple of muscly mutants. This wouldn't be a problem, except Vertigo sends the two heroes reeling, allowing for their capture.
Hey, it's back in 1982. That means Peter took time to create a web parachute.
Brainchild straps Angel and Spider-Man to a genetic transformer machine that will evolve or de-evolve its victims. Not far away, Tanya is saved by Kazar from a T-Rex, only to be attacked, kidnapped, and then she's also devolved by Brainchild's forces, which now include a freshly devolved bird-like Angel and hairy multi-eyed and legged Spider-Man.
Listeners, if you're wondering what just happened, yes, I threw us a 1982 offbeat title called Marvel Fanfare, which the first two books featured Spider-Man because it's a way to sell these books and get them going. And the whole purpose of this book is because they wanted Spider-Man to become a spider and Angel to become a bird after they mutated. And now they're like slaves and followers of this Brainchild. That's all this book is really about.
Well, Kazar and Dr. Lykos counterattack, and Dr. Lykos must use his absorbing power to transform Spider-Man, Angel, and Tanya back to normal. But now he's become Sauron and flies away while issuing threats to all present. Tanya stays with Kazar in the Savage Land while Peter and Warren return home scarred by their de-evolution experience, but with a good story.
Yeah, good story for them. I'm not sure it was a great story for us.
I thought the same thing, James B.
This goes on for three more books, by the way, this whole plot line of the Savage Land and with, you know, Warrington and Sauron. Lykos is in the first five books running around doing stuff. Thankfully, you know, Peter gets out of it, so he doesn't have to do all these books anymore. So there you go. Eddie, anything you want to say about these books before we hit you with a sponsor?
They were all actually pretty good reads for me. I like seeing Doc Ock in action again. He's very different from the Doc Ock of one or even two decades before this. He's like fragile in so many ways. And it's weird that Spider-Man lets him beat him to like save the day.
I thought that was a great little plot line. Like that was the funnest part of this book.
It really makes Doc Ock, like, to me, look very weak, I guess, overall. Like, he may be physically strong. His arms are ridiculously strong. But, like, his mental capacity is not good enough to, like, fight anyone. So,
yeah, he's broken for sure. But it was good to have Doc Ock come back. It seems like forever since we've seen him.
True.
And he's always welcome in my Spider-Man books.
In a reasonable manner. It was good.
We have a returning sponsor today, Eddie. Life runs on energy. The items you wear and use in everyday life come from oil, natural gas, and petroleum. Roxxon Oil is the leading producer of items worldwide. Why are you chuckling? Roxxon Oil, it's a sponsor we have.
Yeah, didn't they just have a facility like blown up in Virginia not too long ago? Sorry. All right, continue, James B.
Okay, the subsidiary. Never mind, Eddie. Okay, from rubber masks to whirly teacups to food packaging. Eddie, you know, rumor has it that Spider-Man's got some LED lights, so he'll now know when he's running low on web fluid, something that you think is going to be very helpful. Well, let me tell you that Roxxon Oil and its subsidiaries have installed LED lighting on its products, so you will now know when you're running low on those products. For example, in your see-through carton of milk, you might wonder, how much milk is there? Hey, boom, LED lights up. You're almost out of milk. Okay, don't pick up to shake it or anything. Just look at it. You can just, okay, sure, you can see the milk inside, but the LED light will tell you exactly how much milk is in there. Eddie, have you ever gone to reach for toilet paper and you're sure, I'm not really sure how much toilet paper is left on this roll. Do I have enough? Boom, LED light will surely help you. Roxxon also makes LED lights for bar soap and the plastic that holds the loaves of bread so you can see how many slices are left and your bar soap, are you running low or not? Never wonder how much is left. Life is too short. Trust life. Trust Roxxon. Roxxon Oil and its subsidiaries are proud sponsors of the Let's Read Spider-Man podcast. So we love having them as a sponsor. Thank you so much.
Hi, Roxxon Oil. They've never done anything wrong, so I'm glad.
I agree completely with you.
You know, they're here supporting us, I guess. Were they just killing people in Ireland or experimenting on them? I feel like there might be other corporations, but they're all owned by Roxxon Oil. So anytime there's a bad thing that happens with the corporation. All right. Well, whatever. This is our sponsor, right, James B? So, yes, let's just move on.
Never needs commentary from you. Your whole job is to say a line right here that isn't even in the script. You're supposed to say, Eddie, how can people reach us? That's all you have to say. Then you say.
Look, I deleted it. It's not in here.
I know, but you're going to have to do it from memory. You've only done it 237 times.
It's like a Beethoven excerpt, though. I can't remember it because I've done it too many times. let's see. You can email us at letsreadspiderman@gmail.com or click on the description below this podcast to find our Discord channel and connect with us through social media.
Great job, Eddie. It's almost like you know our show. And now it's time for the close. I'm James B., joined by
Eddie.
And remember, listeners,
if you're trying to get back at someone who's wronged you, don't send them a nasty email. Don't take out an ad in the newspaper.
Just blow up the city they live in.
Goodbye.
Bye. Eddie, when you were talking about tea in the beginning of this podcast, you know, I had the tea whistle sound effect thing in there and you blew right past it again.
Did I?
Yes, more work
Sorry,
for me. Thank
James
you.
B. I was so excited about oolong tea because I've drank all mine, so I'm having some swanky pu'er tea actually right now. For all those interested, though, I usually have a cup of Trader Joe's Irish breakfast tea in the morning, followed by ginger lemon tea in the afternoon. But these are all fairly new upgrades of tea for me. I drank red rose tea for like 10 years, which is, I think, the grandma tea of choice. Anytime anyone wants to swing by Ypsilanti, they are entitled to a wide selection of teas at my place.